Our theme this evening is a determination to preach the gospel, or a determination to make Christ known. In these verses that we have read together, Peter is concluding his address to the Sanhedrin, and the man lame from his birth has been healed. The Jewish authorities were protesting and were very vigorously trying to stop Peter and John from doing any more miracles. They were trying to silence the apostles from preaching Christ. But verse 10 of Acts chapter 4 makes it quite clear that nothing could silence Peter and John. They were determined to make Christ known, no matter what came their way. So how did they make Christ known? This is what we want to look at this evening. How did they make Christ known? So let's look at how they did it. I want to look at five very simple things that these people, these two men used to preach Christ in a very, very difficult situation. Peter speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as a stone in verse 11. And Peter here is quoting to the Sanhedrin the words of Psalm 118 and verse 22. A verse of scripture which these men would have known very, very well indeed. Let me read to you Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. The stone which the builders refused. The Jews had a legend that when the Temple of Solomon was in the course of construction, all the stones sent out from the quarry were of a similar size. There was very little variance in the difference of the size of the stones. But then one day they came across a stone that was different in size and different in shape from the rest. And the workmen couldn't work out where this stone was for. They thought the stone was a mistake, and so they tipped it over the cliff and it fell into the Kidron Valley. Now it took something like 7 years to build Solomon's temple. And at the end of the 7 years, they were ready to put the chief cornerstone in place. Only then did they realize that the stone that they had rejected was the stone which they needed now. So they searched for and found the rejected stone and placed it into position. And here in verse 11, Peter took up this legendary story which had been passed down throughout the generations. And he says to these men of the Sanhedrin, that stone was a picture of Christ. That stone was a picture of Christ, whom you have rejected. You know, if Peter was the greatest marksman that ever lived with a bow and arrow, he couldn't have pierced the heart as well as he did when he used this metaphor of the stone. The stone, of course, is used in other ways to communicate to us important facts about Christ. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah is saying Christ is the foundation stone. Upon this stone, the church of God would be built. And as we have read, it's a sure stone. It's a precious stone. A stone fit for a foundation. In Matthew chapter 21 and verses 41 to 46, there we are told that Christ is a stumbling stone or a stumbling block. So here's another stone which is describing Christ. And all unbelievers trip and fall over this stone. Now they, of course, don't realize it, but nevertheless, it is a stumbling block or a stumbling stone to the unbeliever. Christ to the unbeliever is a stumbling block, a stumbling stone. Now try to remember here as we go along that Peter and John are determined to make Christ known. Whatever comes their way, they are not going to be silenced. And look what Peter is able to say next. He has used this metaphor of the stone. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Because he has used this metaphor of the stone, now he is able to continue on and say, neither is there salvation in any other. So this brings us to our second thing which we want to see from these verses. The Lord Jesus is the only Saviour. Now you and I know this very well. But remember, these men in the Sanhedrin, those who are listening to Peter and John, do not know it. So they're determined to make Christ known. And they're determined to let them know that Jesus is the only Saviour. The wording in verse 11 speaks of the stone. The stone, not a stone. In other words, Peter is using the definite article. The definite article is used. If the word here had been a stone, it could have meant anyone. It could have meant anyone. But by using the wording this stone, there is absolutely no doubt that it then speaks of our Saviour. So in verse 12, this truth that the Lord Jesus is the only Saviour is very forcibly brought out. But let's break this down a little bit. Peter is telling them that salvation is in a person. It's in a person. It's in the person of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying it's not in churches, it's not in creeds, it's not in systems, it's not in denominations, not in works. It's only in the person of Jesus Christ. And the very name of this person signifies his authority and ability to save. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Familiar words to you and I. And this means he is the only Saviour. I guess over the years we have been greatly blessed by great teachers, great preachers, great evangelists who have enriched all of our lives at some time or another. But all those old men are dead. But Jesus Christ is greater than them all. He is alive right now. His home is heaven. There is no one to compare with Jesus. And Peter is saying to these men, you lot have crucified Jesus, but God raised him up from the dead. And Peter is saying, we have just proved it to you. Which leads us to our third thing. How did Peter and John prove to the Jews who heard them that Jesus was alive? Well, to get the answer here, we have to read Acts chapter 3. Back a chapter. Acts chapter 3, and we'll read the first 7 verses. You'll remember these words. We have read them not so long ago. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received strength. Here's how they proved that Jesus was alive. Here's how they proved it. The healing of this man was a great miracle. It was a great miracle. No man could heal in such a fashion. No one in the past has ever healed in such a fashion. No one in the future has healed in such a fashion. And Peter is plainly telling this Sanhedrin, these men, these high-ranking men in the Jewish court of Jerusalem, he's saying to them plainly and clearly that only the crucified one can heal. Only Christ can heal. Verse 10 of chapter 4. Be it known unto you all, to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Jesus Christ lives. And Peter was saying, I have not got the power to heal this man. It's not in me. God has used me, yes, but it's Jesus Christ who has healed this man, the man whom you crucified. That arrow that pierced their hearts was getting driven in more and more and more. Jesus is alive. His home is heaven. The fourth simple thing which we want to see this evening is an unanswerable proof. Verse 14. And beholding the man, looking at the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Here is the proof again, an unanswerable proof. We read that in verse 14, that those who were opposing Peter and John had nothing to say. They couldn't say anything against him. Why? Because right smack bang in front of them stood this man who for over 40 years could not walk. And they knew it. They had walked in past him day after day, week after week, year after year. They knew him. And here he is, standing now before them. This man had been healed by Jesus Christ. And he was an unanswerable proof that Jesus was alive. It was a great miracle. But you know, there's two more miracles standing right in front of this Sanhedrin. And they are Peter and John. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Here we have these two humble, dedicated men who were now new creations in Christ Jesus. And through these two men, Jesus was making himself known. And in these two men, here we see what a Christian truly is. We see what a Christian truly is. They were men in Christ. And when Christ is in, he cannot be hidden. When Christ is in, he cannot be hidden. It's impossible. If you're here tonight and you are a born again Christian, and Christ is in you, the love of Christ will shine in some way through you. It's impossible for it not to happen. He cannot be hidden. And this is the secret of Peter and John. Remember, they're under great pressure. They're trying to be silenced by the Jews. The heat is on. The Jews are turning up the heat upon them. But instead of shrinking and running for their lives, they give this outstanding testimony of Christ. What was their secret? The secret was they had been with Jesus Christ. In other words, they were living in close fellowship with Christ. They were living in communion with Christ. Well, what about you? What about you? Are you in Christ? And I don't care if you're the quietest man, the quietest woman, the quietest boy, the quietest girl. If you are truly in Christ, there will be a shining testimony of Christ in your life. It's impossible for it not to be. And you might say, oh, I know some people that are very quiet. Well, so do I. But they're better Christians than I am. Their lives, although quiet, shy, reserved, what they do with themselves, how they conduct themselves, even though they say very little, Christ shines through them. So the fifth thing, the simple thing that we want to see again, is doing it God's way. Doing it God's way. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. These men were speaking up for the Saviour. They were doing the right thing in a very difficult situation. They were doing the right thing in the sight of God. And you and I, we need to ask ourselves, are we doing the right thing in the sight of God? Are we pleasing God? Are we pleasing God in what we do in business, in the home, in our personal life, in church life? We need to ask ourselves often, is it right in the sight of God for me to sign this contract? Is it right to accept the offer of quick profit? Is it right to read this book? Is it right to encourage this friendship? Is it right for me to spend this money in this way, in the way that I do? Will the decision which I make on these matters please God? Will they bring honour to Christ? And these are the questions that we need to be asking ourselves in a daily way. We need to be doing the right thing. And if we're doing the right thing, well then the love of Christ will shine more brightly. Taking the latest example in our province, the Ashers Bakery Firm. The Ashers Bakery Firm, we could say, are doing it right. They're doing it God's way. They can't give in even to the immense pressure which is being put upon them by the LGB community, by the media, and by the courts of our land. When you do it God's way, you cannot be silenced. These men were not going to be silenced, not if it cost them their lives. These two men, they were commanded, Peter and John, they were commanded not to preach. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. What did they say? What did they say? Well, they said all they could say. We can't stop. We can't stop. Verse 19. We can't stop preaching Christ. We just can't stop. We're going to do it God's way. Christ was in these men, and that's why they were doing it God's way. Can we say that about many people in our land today who claim to be Christians? Can we really say, when we see what they say, what they do, their actions, can we really say that those men are in Christ? It was impossible to silence these men. But what's the conclusion to this incident that is recorded here? Verse 21. Look at how it ends. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Peter and John, they were set free. They were set free. They had made Christ known. They were determined to preach Christ. They were set free. And they return to the other disciples, and they tell them the things that was done upon this day. And look what they do in verse 24. And when they heard that, when they heard what Peter and John had told them, when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They had done the right thing. It was tough. It was hard. But they were strong. They were in Christ. And that enabled them to be strong. The Holy Spirit opened their mouths to speak the right things at the right time. And we are told to do the same. And we're not even to prepare ourselves. Whenever something comes upon us unexpectedly, we need to have the faith that the Holy Spirit would open our mouths to speak Christ and to make him known unto people, even though it might be tough, it might be hard, it might be a very difficult situation, but we need to do it. And here's the example. All God's people, we're told in verse 24, rejoiced. Two men did something right. Two men. But look how many people rejoiced. Isn't that wonderful? Two men did that which was right. But a whole congregation rejoiced. It's amazing. And if we here in Loughbrickland have the same determination to preach Christ and to make him known, then we too will have this joy which these early believers had. In these days, we find ourselves without a teaching elder. We could say times are tough. Jimmy, sick. How much will the Lord heal him? Will he restore him to a full health and strength? Will he not? We're living here in Loughbrickland in tough days. But here's how we get out of it. If we make Christ known to the people here, out there, wherever we go, in our jobs, in the office, in the building site, in the school, that's how we will overcome these difficulties. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus. May God bless this his word to all of our hearts this evening.